Welcome to Healing Ourselves Heals Our Hoods, where every story, every scar, and every strength becomes a part of our survival strategy. This is more than a podcast. This is the front line of transformation. Here we live by the 3L collective theory. And that is your losses plus your lessons equals the greatest legacy. A healing framework created by myself for communities who have been surviving systems never built for us. Together we name our pain, we lift our lessons, and build the legacy we wish we had. Because healing isn't just personal, it's political, it's cultural, and it's collective. So take a breath, pull up a chair, and let's get into this episode of Healing Ourselves Heals Our Hoods.
All right. Good evening, everybody. My name is Johnny Hines. I'll be your host for today. We got a very special guest for another episode of Healing Ourselves Heals Our Hood. Well, he's a family member to me, but to y'all, you know, you guys are learning. You're going to learn a lot about who he is today. But without further ado, we have Simba Webster, family, you know, little cousin, you know, NFL player, a legend. He's a 925 legend, man. It's one of the big reasons why I wanted to bring him on here. So he can speak to his experiences. As you know, we're still highlighting 3L Collective, 3L Theory, talking about our losses, our lessons, and how it builds our legacy, right? So without further ado, man, I want you guys to all welcome Simba Webster to the podcast, man. Welcome.
I appreciate you, my guy. I appreciate you, bro.
Yeah, man. How you doing?
I'm straight. How about yourself?
Man, I'm good. I can't complain. Thank you for giving me the time. I know you always, it's been love since you was a kid, man. It ain't going to change today. But I really appreciate it because, you know, time is money. A lot of things to be doing with your time. So I greatly appreciate you giving us your time today on this podcast. But before we get into, you know, the questions, talking about our losses, our lessons, our legacy, I want people to be able to know who you are, man. Know, you know, where you from, you know, upbringing, like where you come from. And a big thing that's huge to you is like nationality, man. That's one of the huge things that you talk about or that you take pride in today. So without further ado, I'll give you the floor.
Yeah. So Simba Webster here, man. Raised in Antioch from the Bay Area. And Antioch was just it was a product of a lot of inner city kids and families moving out from, you know, the San Francisco, Oakland areas and things like that. We're trying to make this a new way of living, trying to, our parents giving us a better opportunity and resources to better our lives and things, man. And I honor our parents for doing right. that for us and things, you know. Yeah, but bred in Antioch, man. Went to elementary school out here, middle school, high school. Was able to fortunately, you know, use my talents and God gifts to be able to play at the next level in college and to also further my education as well. You know, got my bachelor's before I was done with my senior year and was able to graduate before that. And then obviously had the chance to take my chances to the next level, you know, and I was, that whole journey was crazy, ups and downs. A lot of lessons learned, but a lot of wisdom gained. And so I'm just grateful to even just be here talking to you and to share this, a lot of wisdom.
Man, I appreciate that, man. He's been very modest. He's not a person that likes to talk a lot. He's always been a person who's just a doer about action. And we greatly appreciate that. But it was a couple of things that you talked about that was very important in regards to the upbringing, right? All the people, you know, coming from, you know, San Francisco, Richmond, Oakland, all these, it was a melting pot, right? At one point in time, we moved out here, our family moved out here for a better life. But ultimately, what it came down is, it was a melting pot of a lot of, like, you know, a lot of friction with different hoods or even different people who think they from the hood, you feel me? So it was a lot of battles of trying to pretend. And then we'll get into how you navigate that process, but I did want to talk about a couple more things still in the introduction part is like, what was like three of the most important things or what are the three most important things to you right now in life with that you would say right now?
Three most important things I would say is knowing yourself, first of all. Second, I would say know where you come from. And third, I would say know where you're going. Know your purpose in life.
Man, thank you. Appreciate that. Appreciate that. And one of the things that people in regards to the process of introduction and getting to know you, what's something interesting that people don't know about you?
I'm semi-bilingual. I'm semi-bilingual. Obviously, my mama from Africa and things. She spoke five different languages, but one of the main languages she spoke to us growing up was French. And I was once like very fluent growing up, but then as I got older, being around a lot of English talking kids and schools and my older brothers and things like that, I lost a little bit, but I'm still hanging in. I still talk to my mom in French at times. And if I see somebody on the street that speaks French, I'll start speaking with them just to practice, to stay on point with them. But yeah, I would say
Staying sharp. All right, that's solid.
that.
Another interesting thing that people don't know about is there's a person on this earth that look like you.
I guess you guys will say y'all my identical twin as well. Yeah, that's my guy Zeus. That's my brother. From the womb to the tomb, man, that's my guy. So since day one, since the beginning, we've been locked in, and we made each other better, iron sharp as iron, all the way through. We both went to the same college and was able to play D1 ball and things like that. And so we made out the mud with each other.
Man, that's a dream come true, right? Getting a girl with your brother, getting out the mud, like you said, sharing clothes, eating at the table together, going to bed together, like all the process of coming up together and then making it to one of the ultimate level of a lot of our childhood dreams of making playing D1 football together, right? Y'all both had that Webster on the back of y'all jerseys. Tell us a little bit more about like that process. Like how was that for y'all?
Oh man, it was a dream come true, because we always, since we was kids, it's crazy, even like seeing like y'all play when we were kids, be at your high school games and things like that. We used to always say in the stands, like, that's gonna be us one day. That's gonna be us one day. We're gonna be great. Like, you know what I mean? We're gonna be great just like them. We always drove each other. Even if we on the street, if we in the backyard, we're racing, we throw each other the ball, who can jump the farthest, who can run the fastest, like. And we always took that personal, obviously, during those times, but we didn't know at the time, like, we was making each other better, and obviously older brothers instigating, trying to get us to push us to our limits and things. So we was always on point with that. But to use that those tools and to bring it into high school to showcase our talents with our peers and things like that, it helped. It helped. We made an impact for our environment and our community, but also as well, we had kids that want to look up to us and wanted to, play like us and things, which was I was honored and grateful of. And even just getting the recognition to even be able to have the chance to even play at the next level, on a full ride scholarship, like that was a blessing. And then going to college, being roommates, being dorm roommates, and him being on defensive end, me being on the offensive end, still the same thing. We're going one on one with each other, we make each other better. Even in the off season, be out there doing releases and doing things that we were doing as kids, but now doing it as young adults. Even in the classroom, we had all the same classes, the same major. Like, so we had each other's back since from the beginning all the way to the till now, to this day. So that's never going to stop. So.
That's is what a blessing. Obviously, my brother, we wasn't twins, it was a 2-year difference, but I also had the opportunity to go to college and play ball with him as well. So we got to play on the same team, and that was a dream come true as well. So I could, I can only imagine that feel, right, to make it the higher level, right, in regards to playing, because I used to turn y'all games on and watch, like, man, that's my little cousin, that's my cousin, my cousin five, and they was doing their thing, right? So that was special, man. Like I said, I'm glad I was able to kind of be front row for it, to see it, because it was such a special thing. And for a lot of you guys tuning in to this episode, we don't do no gassing up over here. Just like, facts is the facts. If you turn on the film and you look up like YouTube right now, you can look up Simba Webster, look up Zuzi Webster. Especially in high school, he won Player of the Year. He was the most dominant offensive player. This was 2013, 14.
13, fall 13, yep.
So if y'all look it up in Deer Valley history, he has records, man. He killed it, right? But we want to get, I don't want to like harp on that, because I don't put all his value and identity into sports and being a football player. So we're gonna move on to the person, the human being. So without further ado, There's three things, categories that we want to highlight today. We'll talk about our losses, we'll talk about our lessons, and then we'll talk about our legacy. So one of the first questions I have for you in regards to losses is, what does losses, lessons, and legacy mean to you personally? When you hear that, what does that mean to you personally?
Well, if I start with losses, man, it's crazy because I still to this day am still learning and understanding that like losses are needed in life. You know, obviously we all hate losses, whether if it's in sports, whether if it's failures in classes, if it's in life and things that as something you do, whatever the case may be, like we all hate that feeling. You know, it feels it's discouraging and things like that, you know. But you never really realize that naturally is like naturally some like a lot of us take that loss and we look at it in a bad way, but not knowing that loss makes us pivot in a certain way, you know, or for the better. We actually gain wisdom for it, you know. All the greats from all the best human beings in the world that we see as celebrities or athletes or whoever, scientists, they took a lot of failure. They probably took more failure than they took success. But
Facts.
those failures is what turned them into success.
Right.
And the second was lesson. Because of those losses, they learned lessons. They gained wisdom and things like that to where now they know what not to do and what they should do and how they should pivot in life or whatever the case may be, in their careers, whatever the case may be. And you learning that wisdom, now you gain the wisdom, now you give the wisdom, which is part, I think it's part of a legacy, where it's like that's how you leave a legacy, just by giving game out to the younger kids and giving out to your peers or your proteges, wherever the case may be, people who want to look up to you and see like you got there. I want to get there too. What's it going to take? And that's where you get the wisdom, like, yeah, you're going to take L's, you're going to fall down, you know, but what you learn off the lessons is how you get back up and push forward. So
Along those lines, like you said, when did you start seeing losses as, as a part of lessons instead of just setbacks? Like when, instead of just like focusing on that it was a failure, when did you start repurposing your losses and start using those as lessons?
I think as an adult, I think as an adult, I think naturally, I never realized this until when I was an adult, where a lot of the losses and failures I've had, I always beat myself up about it, but it always fueled me naturally, right? But I didn't realize it till I want to say in the last few years throughout in my career, where it was like I would have up and downs if it's injuries, if it's, you know, the business side of things or whatever the case may be or whatnot in life. Like I took losses, but then I started to realize, you know what? I look back in life and thought to myself, like losses, some of my losses in life were also blessing in disguises that I didn't think of. You know what I'm saying? And those losses kind of shaped me and groomed me in a way that God wanted me to go and paved, I mean, kind of paved the way for me to, you know what? This didn't work. Okay, let me switch it up a bit. Let me take this route. Let me change my strategy up. Let me critique this in my game or whatever the case may be. I feel like as me being an adult is where I start to realize, you know what? Now I'm starting to take things when I didn't reach a certain benchmark or whatever the case may be in life. Like, you know what? That's okay. We're gonna attack it again. Now I'll start having that approach instead of just like, damn, and start beating my head for a little bit and just being hard on myself. Like I just now it's like, you know what? I'm gonna take it for what it is, and now I'm just gonna pivot and keep pushing forward.
Yeah, that's like you said, utilizing those losses and then making them lessons. And like you say, you spoke on wisdom, right? Those losses provide. We always talk about using an analogy like touching the stove, right? And in order for me to know the stove was hot, I had to touch it. Like you could be like,
Touch.
"Hey, it's hot. Don't go over there or something." Like it's hot,
Exactly.
but it's like, man, it ain't really that hot. I gotta see for myself. So for situations like you said, where you had to bump your own head in order to see the benefit of it or the downfall of it, right? So you had to have that opportunity or that loss to build and have that lesson. So, Being that we talked about our environment, right? We grew up in Antioch. It was supposed to be a suburban area, but it was like a melting pot from everybody from every hood, every block. And that's why I be telling people all the time, like, as much people are like, man, Antioch, that's suburban like that. Y'all something like, nah, it ain't.
Ghetto
Wasn't as sweet as
burbs.
people thought it was. If anything, it made it more dangerous because there was a lot of people coming out here trying to prove something,
Right.
right? Speaking on your environment, how has your environment help you shape your view and perspectives of like how you grew up? Like how did the environment you grew up, how did that help you like basically like mold your views and your perspectives?
I feel like my environment, I feel like with despite being in the suburbs, not being like in the inner city, but
Right.
that inner city energy kind of drifted to the to, I mean to the suburbs and things like
Yeah.
that. I feel like the pros, I would say, definitely were just the mentality of I would say that that hustling mentality
Right.
was definitely one thing, one huge part of the environment that made us who we are today. Like nothing was easy. Everything was all earned. Nothing was given. Just that mentality of just put your head down and just go. Obviously, father being from Sunnydale, from the city and things like that, he instilled in us that, nothing's going to, a lot of the things we wanted was just, the answer was no. No, no, no. Like, if you want it, you got to figure out a way to go get it. I'm not just gonna give you things, if, whatever it's consoles, going to Dave and Buster's or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, we got to earn it. If that's by grades, if that's by making nothing out of something, that was just the mentality. And even with the kids, it was the same thing. Like you said, from different cities and different hoods, like we had to kind of, bring out our chests and things like that, because a lot of kids want to try us. We have to hold our
Yeah, man, I ain't gonna lie though. That's a different story. But you had another big deterrent in your house to bully and knock.
what not to do, and and pivot from all that. I love my dog,
And I benefited from it too, man. So
though.
Marcus being a year or two older than me, we all benefit from it, from his shadow of protection, man. So like that's another different. That's a full conversation for another day.
It's content for
We
something.
had our own live Debo in our, bro. So we was good. But also, staying on along the lines of loss, right? Can you share a moment of loss that you felt was like the turning point for you in your journey? Like, what was that like? They always talk about on the pivot, right? What was that pivot moment? Like, what was your loss that kind of like shaped the process in regards to like either making you buckle down harder or like go after it a little bit more? Like, what was that turning point for you in regards to that one loss you really could like point to? Feel me?
I would say, I'm gonna give one huge one was my sophomore year in college, and this is when I was playing with like guys like Cooper Kupp, Kendrick Bourne, and these guys. I think we made it to the semifinals, a game before the FCS championship. And mind you, I came back from a broken collarbone that same season, early in the season. So I was able to fortunately play in that semifinal game. And we did everything we could playing in the snow. It was like 0 degrees. And we ended up losing. I think it was on ESPN Top 10 Plays. We ended up losing to a guy catching a ball on a person's back. It was like a lucky catch play, I mean, kudos to him and things. But we lost on the last play of the game. And like that feeling right there, that loss we took, hurt, because now it's like, okay, now those older guys are going to be gone. Now I'm technically going to be that older guy in the receiver group, but also too, it's like we thought we were on the road to winning the championship. I think we were ranked like second in the nation in the FCS, and we were supposed to be playing in the championship bowl, I mean game, but we ended up didn't, and that hurt because our season was shattered, and so I kind of took it personal. And I told myself, like, damn, like, it's ESPN too. I'm like, I do not want to feel this again. I want to make it to the at least, if we're gonna lose in the championship. I'm not feeling this again. And I knew that having all those All-Americans on our team, that people thought that this was our best chance of making it this far, and we were never going to make it again. And I took that personal. So I told myself this offseason, if I got to get with my guys, our quarterback and things like that, that wasn't our best chance. You know what I'm saying? We're going to make it again. So within these next 2 years, we're going to make it somehow, and it's going to happen. Unfortunately, that next season, we didn't even end up making the playoffs, and that fueled me even more. So I took another loss right there. It was like, we didn't make the playoffs my junior year, and that fueled me even more. And I told myself, like, we're going to make it. Like, I don't know how we're going to make it, because mind you, FCS at the time, we wasn't playing on ESPN, so our games wasn't televised on national level unless you made it to those last three games. And I trying to make it to the league is like, you want to get seen. So I said, okay, that was my motivation. It was like, okay, we got to do what we have to do to make it to the championship. So our senior year, we laid it all out on the field. We was able, fortunate enough to be co-conference championships. I was able to be a 1,000-yard receiver since those guys left. Earned conference honors and things like that. And we was able, it's funny, and that semifinals game my senior year was arguably my best game I've ever had, where then I had an okay game, but we ended up losing. But we ended up killing the team that we were playing, and that was that ESPN moment. Having four touchdowns and things like that. And that, because of that game, that literally changed my whole career, as in even me make it to the NFL, because that's how even all these agents started hitting me up, wherever the case may be. And we was fortunate enough to make it to the championship game, where then with those high caliber guys wasn't able to. So that was the motivation of those losses that led to everything, to us being able to play at the Natty of them all.
That was like I said, I watched your whole career, so I was able to see that game, your sophomore year, y'all losing that big one where you guys were expected to be the favorites to win it. And then also, like you said, the junior year not making it, then seeing y'all senior year where you and your brother was making a lot of great plays. You had a breakout game right at the right time with the right with everybody watching. So that was huge, right? Stand along the lines of our 3L collective, right? We're talking about lessons now, right? What lesson did you feel like took you the longest to learn, and why?
Would have this would have been my college career, was learning to trust the process of things, be patient. But I was just telling a story about my sophomore year. I wasn't a starter. 'Cause when kids come into college and things like that, either they're true freshmen or they end up starting the year after and things like that. I didn't start until my junior year. To those Cooper Kupp and those guys were gone. I ended up starting to my junior year. So I only had 2 years to really showcase my talent. I only, at receiver. That's the only chance I got, 2 years. And so during those times, though, I was frustrated, obviously not feeling like I wasn't, playing enough. I was only a special teams guy. And, I had moments in days where, I just broke down and started like crying and frustrating, because it was just like, man, like, is this gonna be it for me after all these? I mean, after all these years, is this gonna be it? Am I gonna get able to get my shine? And I think during that, as I look back on that, on those moments, I think that was kind of selfish of me. Like, I'm not even honing in the moment of understanding, like, you know what, well, why don't you take the time to learn from these All-Americans that are in front of you, instead of pouting and being frustrated because you feel like you should be playing along with them. Those are all Americans for a reason. You're not there yet, and that's okay. You may get there if you listen and understand. Obviously, we have the FCS GOAT in Cooper Kupp, and understand where he's at and what took him to be where he's at, and hone in those skills so that when it's your time, which is going to be your time eventually, you can be able to make a name for yourself. And I didn't learn that until the end of that season. I read something on the wall where it just stuck in my head, was it said, trust the process. And I said, huh. I said, you know what? Whatever happens, I'm just gonna trust the process of this whole thing. I'm gonna be patient. I'm gonna wait my turn. I'm gonna take where I'm at now and learn the things I need to learn. So that when that time does come, I'm not gonna blow that opportunity.
Right.
But I think that was probably the biggest lesson I've learned, and it let and I've carried on that lesson all the way to now in life. You know what I'm saying? All the way to now in life. And even if you go on my Twitter and see my pinned tweet, it's the same tweet I tweeted it my rookie season. Was, just pretty much saying, like, trust the process. It's gonna happen some way, somehow. As long as you trust the process, you'd be all right.
So, I guess along those lines, because my next question is, what or who would you say provided your greatest lesson you ever received? Was it that experience? Was it, this pattern showing up in your life consistently where it's telling you to trust the process? Or like what would you say like was the greatest lesson you ever received, right? I guess kind of like
Okay.
along the lines of like the greatest advice you ever received or whatever.
Right.
Sometimes it's a what and sometimes it's a who. So would you say what or who would provided the greatest, lesson for you?
I would say three things. One, I think certain patterns of training experiences from the youth, high school, in college kind of gave that trust of process feeling, but it didn't really hit me until college. Like, you know what? Damn, I went through all these stages. Like you kind of said before in youth football, me being a lineman and waiting my turn to really showcase things, or even in high school, and not having the fundamentals, but ended up getting the fundamentals later in my career, which led me to do the things I needed to do. Same thing with college. I was so now I would say the experience and the trend of trusting the process of things happening in at each stage was something. I will also say when I got signed to the Los Angeles Rams my rookie year, our receiver coach, I was on it was that day actually. I was on a phone with our receiver coach, and he gave me a key of advice which that I didn't really un I mean that I didn't really get until later that year, when he said, "Don't look at the money, look at the opportunity." Right? And at first I'm like, okay. I'm like, okay, whatever that means, But then I understood later where it's just, okay, obviously, making it to the league, everything now is you making money, business, whatever the case is. Things like that, you're making more than what you were making before. But I took what he said and added, and I used that as being a camp body my rookie year, and ended up making the 53-man roster, which is not an easy thing to do, especially from a team that just made the Super Bowl the year before. They already have their guys, and I did pretty much he what he meant by that was just the opportunities you get right now may never come back in life. Take advantage of it. Learn the things you need to learn. Even if you have to do overtime and be in the building, watching film, learning the playbook, being up at night, making flash cards, whatever, asking questions, like take all that in, because when that opportunity comes, that's the only chance you got. And I happened to exercise and use what he said into what I did in those preseason games, and I was able to fortunately make the 53-man roster along with those hollow like got along guys like Aaron Donald and Clay Matthews and all these legendary guys. I was able to be teammates with them because I took what he said instead of looking at the money like, oh, I made it. You know what I'm saying? Like having that ego is like, nah, I'm fighting for something. I'm fighting like I got nothing. I got nothing to lose but everything to gain. I got having that edge. So that was definitely a lesson. And I'll say the last lesson I've learned these last few years, and this is outside of sports and life, and this is when it comes to like financial literacy and things like that, where it's I was talking to a guy at dinner. Like he's like one of those top-notch making millions and stuff like that. I was like, what would be like a lesson you would give me as a kid now? And he gave me the most simplest saying ever. He said, "Follow the money." And I said, "Huh?" I was like, in my head, I'm like, "That's it? Like, what do you mean by that?" And that's all he gave me was just follow the money. you'll understand. So as I started my financial journey of like learning how to try to invest and seeing the tools and things and stuff like that, it's just still to me like, what does he mean by that? What does he mean by that? As I studied and read in books and understanding how institutions work, banks work, how to get loans, and learning like how to invest, buy low, sell high, things like that, you can see where those people with those huge funds, where they're pushing their money to, what they're investing in. Like you can go see Warren Buffett's portfolio and see where he's investing in and things like that. And I understand like, huh, okay, why are they doing this? Why are they doing that? Why are they selling this? Why are they buying that? As I start to understand that stuff, I'm like, it clicked. Follow the money. I'm like, so if you understand where the cash flow of things are going, you may know how to navigate your life and like know where to put your money to make your money grow and things. It's the same thing as just like planting seeds and, you know what I mean? Making flowers and trees and things like that. It's the same thing with that. Just follow the money. Understand where they're putting it. Understand what you're investing your money into, and things will start to flow that way. Once I started doing that, I was like, whoa, I get what he's saying now. And then now there's just the patience and understanding the fundamentals of things that will lead you in life and things make life easier.
That's crazy that the three things, the way you stated and the phrases that you took away from each lesson, right? The trust the process, right, in college, and don't chase the money, take the opportunity, and then follow the money, right? You got these three phrases that kind of align the same way if you really pay attention to it, right? Because trusting the process is like, don't worry about the results, like grind,
Exactly.
go get after it, right? Earn
Exactly.
right for somebody to say your name. And we grew up with a certain term too. Is like, if you like that, you ain't gonna have to go around telling nobody like that. Everybody
Exactly.
will come
You
for you,
let
right?
your game tell it all.
Exactly. So for it to be trust the process, and then we're talking about don't worry about the money, the opportunity, because yeah, a lot of people don't make it in the league, right? Some people make it to the league and then they don't stay there, right?
Right.
But there's so many things you can gain from going to the NFL and not ever being a household name. I could
Right.
in the NFL go through a whole camp, and now I learn how to train like an NFL player. So now I can leave the NFL and go be a trainer training kids to get to the NFL.
Exactly.
Okay, that's
Exactly.
route, right?
Exactly.
Now I just sat in all these meetings and all these X's and O's. Now I
Right.
go start my own channel talking ball or
Talking ball.
sports,
Right.
and that's one avenue. That's another avenue. All right, boom. All right, say that didn't work, whatever the case may be. Now I go play football, I learn the system of how it works. Now I stay in coaching football. Now I'm a coach. Now I'm a
Yeah,
GA.
exactly.
Now I
Using your resources that you made to
exactly
you know how the game works. It's about what ain't
it.
about what you know about who you know. You know what I'm saying? So
Exactly.
you can use that tool. Yep.
So there's so many tools you can get that comes from football, because they'll tell you, a lot of the OGs and the coaches will tell you, it's not even always about being a guy. It's about networking. And like you said, getting in a room with people that can show you how to push your portfolio and make it vast and make it big. And you're learning more about financial literacy, and you're building a lot of relationships with real teammates and friends. But they like, I got a buddy that owns 17 restaurants. I got a buddy that got 15 Airbnbs. I got a buddy that got a Tesla fleet, a fleet of Teslas. Like,
Right.
there are so many opportunities, and you got to think, I might be a 1 year undrafted rookie, but I'm right next to a 15-year vet. You
Bet
know what
making, yeah, and he got a lot of things going out for himself outside of football that can make, like, he could put you on game, even long as you have the ears to listen.
So it's not about the money. It's about the opportunity that I get to be a
Exactly.
15-year-old vet
How
that
do you, yeah,
all of
yeah,
his
yeah.
losses, his,
Exactly.
how he built his.
Exactly.
Feel me? So there's so many opportunities there. So I think that's super big that you said that. And then ultimately getting in the league as an adult and following the money, right? Because
Right.
everything in life has trends and patterns. You
Exactly.
just
There
have
you go.
to
There you go.
have attention to detail. So the fact
Right.
saying these three things, trust the process, don't worry about the money, the opportunity, and then you talk about following the money, they all align for
Right.
not a sports thing, they all align for life.
And one last thing
Yeah.
that I didn't add to the quote that he said was follow the money and invest into the future. And what he meant by that, now as I look at it now, looking back, he meant by not just investing money into the future, but investing yourself too. If it's
Right.
you hitting the gym and want to be more fit, you want your I mean, what you're doing now is what you want to is you trying to benefit yourself in the near future. You know what I mean? You want to build a six pack. Okay, I'm looking to have a six pack. I'm looking to be this way by next year or 2 years, wherever the
Right.
case may be, you know? And even if you're talking about even money, like if you follow what's the future now, I mean, what's the future now as we talk about it, right? AI, if it's digital, if it's even quantum computing, whatever the case may be. If you invest into these things now, your future can be very beneficial. So now as I look at it
Right.
like that, I'm like, wow, okay. That's what he means. Following the money, investing into the future. If you understand that, not with yourself, but also in out in life, it's not gonna be beneficial for you. I like how you put all those stuff together too, because I was like, yeah, you hit that on the noggin.
Game, man, because the great thing about it that you're doing, Sam, is it doesn't matter, and I'm gonna talk to you about this next question. It doesn't matter who made it with you. If you go ahead for the group, get the information and bring it back. Because right now, it doesn't matter. It's just like, bro, it don't even matter. Like, hey, bro, I was this way, I was that way. I was better than you in high school. I was better. That does not matter because I made it there, and ultimately, I'm going to go mine this information. I'm about to go mine all this information. And now I'm about to go back to my mom, my dad, my brothers, my sisters, cousins. Like, I'm about to give y'all so much game because I'm in rooms that you guys don't get an opportunity to sit, right?
Crazy.
So there's so many opportunities coming from that. And speaking about legacy, right? And then ultimately the bigger picture that you're talking about now is, what was it like accomplishing your dreams and aspirations in life, realizing everyone couldn't realize them with you, right? Those people that you grinded with, your mom, your dad, even your twin brother, right? He couldn't necessarily be in every room that you want him to be in, but you tried to create as many, open as many doors and windows as possible so he could get that game, right? So what was it like accomplishing your dreams and aspirations in life and realizing that everyone that you love or you wanted to come with you couldn't realize them with you?
Oh man, I think I still to this day, I feel like sometimes it hit me, sometimes it doesn't. Just the fact that me even making it and able to follow my dreams and get there and things like that, it still doesn't hit me. During my career, it never hit me. I think as I look back on life, if I truly look back on life, sometimes I sit there and think, I'm like, damn, like I used to have. It's just like it's just crazy. Sometimes I don't even have the words for it, you know, because I just remember being a kid. I literally have it in. I used to have a project when I was a kid, and it said, "What you want to be when you grow up?" I literally can go into if I go to my parents' house and like say, I mean, go to one of the rooms. You can see on my project it said, "Be an NFL player," under that question, you know. And I remember being there and I've seen it. And I'm just like, wow. I really set that in the third. It was the third grade. I set that, and I'm living it. Like it's crazy. Like it's crazy to think. Like I'm looking, thinking back to myself. Like that's what I wrote, and I'm living what I manifested that. Like you know. And obviously, it wasn't just myself. It took a lot of resources and people and supports and things like that. And I'm just grateful, and I'm just taking it all in, you know. And obviously, I'm there. My people around me are not in those rooms and taking it all in with me, and I have to, you know, gain the knowledge that I have, you know, it's crazy. I take it all in, and I try to get as much knowledge as I can and gain as much as I can, and able to try to help my family, my parents, and things like that, you know, because so, like you said before, it's a lot of resources and a lot of game you don't hear on a regular basis. You know, that would literally could change your life. And so I'm just grateful and blessed, and I try to give myself grace sometimes. I'm still hard on myself to this day, but it's I have no words for it. I'm gonna be honest, it's kind of crazy.
You're all good, but with that, with experiencing that, right, and being in those rooms, right, and getting access to it, right, did you ever experience any survivor's guilt or imposter syndrome in the process of building your legacy?
That was me in the beginning of my career. I think that was me in the beginning of my career, where I wasn't drafted. I only got that was I only got that one call and that one call only. And bottom of the depth chart, not getting reps sometimes at practice. I'm only doing the warm-ups and individuals, and that's it. I feel like those times were very discouraging, but remembering to take my opportunities, use my opportunities the best as I can, and things like that. I feel like make the roster and things like that. I think it didn't hit me because I felt like I didn't feel like I. It's funny in that moment, I had the confidence in my game, but I didn't have the confidence mentally where it was just like, am I really supposed to be here? That's why it never hit me because I just felt like, nah, this is not real. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not supposed to be playing with these guys and stuff like that. And I remember leaving the Rams and going to Chicago, and the first game was against the Rams on Sunday Night Football in LA. And being out there in the warm-ups, and I see my receiver coach, that same guy that gave me that advice, he gave me a big old hug and was like, hey man, remember, you belong. You belong. This is going into my third year. He said, you belong. Never forget that. You because I because you know previously I was on the Niners and things like that, and was able to make things happen. But when he said that you belong, that's when it hit me like, like, damn, you know what? I'm here. You know what I mean? I have to own that. Like, I'm here. I'm stamped here. You know what I'm saying? And obviously it can be taken away. So make the most of your opportunity right now. So I always had that just beating myself up mentality and feeling like, oh, I'm not doing enough. I'm not doing enough. You know, but that led me to kind of where I'm at now. But I use that as fuel. I didn't use it to discourage me, feel like I'm not good enough.
Speaking about that, and like you said, where you are now, like how are you actively building your legacy right now? You talked about the financial literacy, you talked about investments, you talked about, just like, we talked about personally, privately about, investing your money in the right places, man, and saving and being smart with it, right? Like, so how are you actively building your legacy right now?
Oh man, I'm using the tools that I've learned. I look so, for example, like money. People look at money as life. I look at money as a tool. You know what I'm saying? Money is just money at the end of the day. Like we use it for our lives and things like that. Some people use it for liability. Some people use it for assets. You know what I'm saying? So you have to understand the both. So you obviously can know which lane that goes and which lane that goes. I would say how I'm building my legacy is using using my career and the wisdom I've gained and the networking I've gained to pave a way not just for myself but for the kids that's coming behind me. If it's them asking me questions in my DMs or even if me going up to my high school talking to the kids and stuff like that, I love doing those type of things because, I understand where I come from, and these guys are in the same shoes as where I was, and me being here is I wish I had that where a guy made it and came back and talked to me, and obviously we had guys that then made it from our school, and but I wanted to be that guy, like, you know what, one day I want to be there and I want to be able to give back to the school and understand and give the knowledge that I gained here so you guys can do whatever you guys want to do in life, and I feel like seeing kids make it to college or seeing their dreams come true, I feel like that would make me whole. So legacy wise, it'll be that. It'd be also setting up family structures of things, setting up trusses and things like that. The things I'm building now, I'm trying to scale up. If it's business wise, if it's investment wise, and things, I can be able to one day pass that down to the bloodline that's coming after me and things, so that they can have more knowledge than what I was gained. You know what I'm saying? And they can use that and build upon that, and so on and so forth. So I'm just trying to structure things in life from a financial literacy standpoint, and ways of giving, and also just giving game from the sport that I love.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things too that I can speak to that I've seen you do is you surrounded yourself with the right group of people, right? Don't get me wrong, like you didn't went through high school, middle school, some people that's locked up, some people that didn't died, right? You know people, right? But as I'm thinking about it, right, your circle, Your circle was probably one of the most successful circles in the 925 area, from like people making something of themselves. And honestly, it in your group, in your circle, you probably had to have almost 10 people, at least seven, six people go professional, like play D1 or professional football out of just your
Oh
circle.
man, I'm shoot. If I'm looking back at it now from high school, obviously Joe Mixon, one of the best backs of the league. George Moore was able to make it to Oregon, you know what I'm saying? Made it to the league, played in the CF, played in the CFL and things like that. Robert Taylor was now is Glorilla's personal trainer. Like, you know what I'm saying? My guy Eric Barber graduated from LSU, now is in academics and things like that. You know, even my brother, you know, starting his own digital asset consultant. You know what I'm saying? So like,
Yeah.
it's kind of crazy. Like we
Michael
all,
Hutchins,
Michael.
Vikings
Oh yeah,
head
Michael Hutchins. Matter of fact, it's crazy.
coach.
I remember growing up with him. I forgot about. Thank you for saying that. Oh my God. Seeing him pregame when we played against him. You know what I mean? When he obviously for the Vikings, me on the Bears. Say what's up to him. I got a whole picture with him and everything. Like, and it's
Darrell
dope. We
Daniels.
grew up in the same neighborhood. Like, it's kind of crazy.
Darrell Daniels.
Darrell Daniels.
Yeah,
I feel like
y'all.
there's so many people. Oh man, I can't. I feel like my boy Xavier Crawford. We was
Yeah,
on the same team together.
yeah,
You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? Like, it's a lot of dudes. Like, I feel like I'm forgetting a lot more people.
Yeah, you I knew, see, that's the whole thing about it is I know all y'all. Y'all's my little cousins, y'all
Yes.
people that I watch and grow up. But I'm talking about those, y'all, like, I know y'all. Y'all my little cousins. Like, I'm doing my own thing. I'm much older than y'all, but it's like y'all, your circle of friends and people who you were close to, like, you could be like, damn. You know, they always talking about, like, you know, if you got people, you don't, if you got people that's not helping you be successful, be great, you don't got a circle, you got a cage, right? So
Yeah.
it's like a lot of the people you around, like you say, grew up with Joe, grew up with Jarrell, grew up with George, grew up with all these people, grew up with your brother. And also speaking about Zuzi, right? He was a very, very great defensive back who just didn't get the opportunity. And you know people like this all the time who are good and good enough to play in the league, they just didn't
Oh
get their
man.
shot.
Oh
So
man.
I want to speak to that a little bit, like, man, because I used to watch it at one point in time. Zuzi was having a more productive career at Eastern than you was.
What? Oh man. As you know, it's crazy. I always tell Zeus this, because you know, like, I mean, the mentality of like one of us make, we all make it type thing,
Right,
right?
right.
But obviously, we all like, you can understand that, you know what I mean? You're gonna feel some type of way, you know, you not making it, you're right there and not being there, right? But I would say, like, I always told Zeus this, even me being in those practices, being in those meeting rooms and going against these DBs, and you know, to this day, I always say, a lot, as I've been in those rooms, a lot of guys that did not make it could play in the league. And that's no knock on anybody. It's just, it's timing, it's opportunity, it's, you know, it's the right opening. Like, all that plays a factor in you being able to get the opportunity to play or not. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's not just, I wasn't that good, or I was that good. It's sometimes other factors play a key in it. It could be coaches, it could be politics, it could be anything,
Time and
you
luck,
know?
all that, all that.
Yeah, all that stuff is a factor in it. And I would say a lot of guys could play, could have made it to the league, especially my brother. I know for sure. Oh yeah, easily, easily.
But yeah, y'all, and I think I was just speaking to that in regards to even out of the environment we talk about, where if you look at Antioch right now, it has a lot of murders, it has a lot of robberies, a lot of stuff going on out here, right? And for you guys to all come from this environment, right, where it wasn't necessarily that bad when you guys were growing up, it was bad, but it wasn't as bad as it is now. But for you guys to all come out, right, and make something of yourselves, right, and then like a lot of you guys do a great job of coming back and giving back. Like I every time I call you, like, hey Sam, I need you to come up here, talk to the kids. Hey Sam, can you do this for me? Can you do that for me? Every time it's been like, yeah, if I'm in town, if I'm available, I got you.
Yeah,
And you
always.
do it, right? Joe doing the camps over here, Darrell doing his camps over here. Like everybody always giving back to the community, and it's like a lot of people don't do that necessarily, right? We have a lot of legends that come out of 925, man, that played at Pittsburgh, Antioch, Deer Valley, De La, like a lot of, like,
Yeah.
our area of California has put out a lot of people,
Wow.
right? So, but not everybody feels the need to give back, right? Nobody, everybody don't feel the need to, not, and I'm not even talking about like monetarily. I'm talking about like come back and bring that game back, come bring opportunity, right? So the simple fact that you're doing that now is like pretty big in part of your legacy. And I just want to give you respect and love for that, because like I said, you ain't never, like I said, you've been the same person I knew since you grew up. You ain't never been on no weird shit like, oh, yeah, bro, let me see, bro, how much you gonna pay me? I'll do it. Like, you ain't never been on nothing like that, bro. You supported when I came on my clothing brand. You was rocking it, taking pictures of the NFL photos.
I still got your hat. Wait, wait.
Yeah, yeah.
I still got
Or
your hat.
now
Still
for real,
got
now you
that
can wear it because you cut the dreads off, so you can
hat.
wear it. But I just want to acknowledge, man, like you're one of the reasons why not only did you live here, you grew here, you left and you came back, like, and you still feel the need to give back to our community, like with knowledge, with game, with advice, with suggestion, and that's big. So one of my last questions I want to ask you is, what do you want your legacy to be?
Man, everything I've pretty much my leg I just want my legacy to be just everything I set out for. I've always went to earn it. I never went to just want I never wanted it given, you know. I never looked for ways or try to walk around trying to figure out how to get up that mountain. I just climbed it, you know. And I came down that mountain. Hopefully, I can come down that mountain, pave the way, and give people the route to
Right.
climb that mountain themselves.
Right.
That's it.
That's game.
Just
That's a gem right there.
keep it simple like that.
And I ain't gonna lie, Sim, I feel like obviously you're not the end of your role yet, so you have a lot of time to build on your legacy. But I feel like you're already doing that right now. That's why I just want to acknowledge, like, you're going ahead and you're bringing the information back. Like, I'm going to go get the bread and the water. I'm gonna bring it back, and that goes back to our ancestors, right? In certain villages, you go be the person to go get. You go hunt and bring the food back to the village. You go bring the water back to the village. So that's super big, man. I appreciate you even saying that, or even having the mindset to think about multiplying. It ain't the legacy ain't about you. Feel me? It's about
It's
the
bigger than me.
us. Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
bigger than me. Hopefully it can some of what Tupac would say, you know what I mean? He said, I don't want to change the world, but hopefully I can spark the brain that will change the world. You know
Yeah.
what I'm saying? I feel like we're all doing that, you know what I mean, in our own separate ways, because
Yeah.
the game I got changed my life, and hopefully the game I get to somebody else is going to change their lives, you know?
Nah, that's big, man. Once again, I appreciate you. Thank you for taking the time with us, man. Healing Ourselves Heals Our Hood podcast. We appreciate you, Simba Webster. Appreciate you. Anything that you have that you want to update the people on, like anything that Zuzi got going on with his company, One Sock Clothing, like anything you want to like plug or promote, the floor is yours.
Oh man, this is just to the people in general, man. Like, especially to the youth, I would say, whatever you set your mind out for, understand that it's gonna come with some trials and tribulations. It's gonna come with obstacles. It's gonna come with some bumps along the road. You're gonna take losses. You're gonna have failure. Don't get discouraged. It's all a part of the journey. Because if it was that easy, everybody would be able to do it.
Yeah.
So it's not. So you're gonna have to take some blows in life. You know what I'm saying? So, but you gotta take some losses in life. But just the people in general. You know, we got the sock brand called One Sock. You know, it's a healthy fitness sock for ourselves to not feel fatigued, but also create space in our feet. It's great for your everyday wear. Get it. You can go to my page. There's a link right there to the page. Also as well, my brother got some going for himself with his digital asset consultant, like investing into the future. He took his time away from the game. Obviously, didn't make it to the league, but he was able to use the tools and the knowledge of himself to gain other knowledge into something that is going to be here for the near future. And he was able to study and gain his knowledge, and also give back to us to give
Yeah.
us game about it. And it only changed our lives. So I would say go to his page as well. It'll be Zeus Crypto. He got a lot of knowledge to gain for you in the financial literacy space, and obviously it'll be beneficial people for, I mean, for people's lives in your life as well. So that's
Nah,
good too.
appreciate that, Sam. For everybody else, when this drop, we'll drop audio, and then we'll have the visual component as well. And then I'll tag everything in regards to One Sock, the page, Zuzi's, in regards to following up with Simba and see how you can get, involved with what he got going on. Any future investors that want to be a part of it, that want to build the brand, make it bigger, better. We want every opportunity for him, as well as he creates opportunities for our community. So, like I said, bro, I appreciate you. I love you, man. Thank you for taking the time to be with
You
us
too, my brother.
today. I am bummed because you already know we die hard. I know when you play for certain teams, you become a fan of certain teams because they gave you a shot. But we grew up all Niner fans. Pops grew up a Niner fan, and I was very bummed out that you didn't get to get your shot further with them. But I did want to ask, when you got your jersey, did you get to keep that jersey or no?
I did not because I wasn't a part of the active roster, and obviously during the regular season and things. I didn't get the chance to buy the jersey at the end of the season. I wasn't able to do that,
I
unfortunately.
was hoping that you was able to keep it and give it to Pops.
I know, bro. What? Man, I'll be
Yeah,
oh,
that would have been
but
big, man.
man. But I mean, he talked to me before. He said just me even just being in a uniform, see me and him seeing me play, you know what I mean, right there in the Niners Stadium. That was already
I already know
good
he was
enough.
happy no matter what, but I
Oh,
just know
same here too.
I just know that would have been huge, man, because I gotta go back and get my jersey for you so I can have you sign it, because I gotta put it in my shadow
Oh,
box.
I got you. Yeah.
But I gotta get all the 925 legends, man. Also
Sure.
got another opportunity for y'all too. I want to do like a 925 legends capsule collection for the brand. Like just all like different type of hats that kind of like symbolic. That way you like you know if you want to put the Congo flag on there, like you want to put like a lion, whatever the case may be. Like I
That's
want
kind
to,
of hard.
yeah, I got some dope ass like some concept I had built up even for Joe, for his little mixed team shit. It's kind of hard. So,
That'll be hard for sure.
yeah, we're
Most
gonna talk a
definitely.
little bit further more about it. But like I said, thank you for the opportunity to come on and interview with us.
Thank you.
Greatly appreciate y'all. Yeah, man, I just appreciate it. So thank you.
Thank you.
All right, without further ado, man, we're gonna end this episode. Man, y'all have a blessed day, man, and happy holidays. Thanksgiving coming up in a few days, man. Y'all be safe out there. Be careful. Be kind to one another.
God bless.
All right, peace, bro.
You just tapped into another powerful episode of Healing Ourselves Heals Our Hoods. Thank you, first off, for showing up for yourself and for the legacy that you're building. Remember that every loss we name, every lesson we share, becomes a part of the legacy that can't be erased. We're not just healing. We're shifting culture, we're breaking cycles, and we're making sure the hood we come from isn't the hood we leave behind. If this moved you, share it with somebody you love, follow, review, and come back next week. We're just getting started. Until next time, keep living the 3L way. That is, your losses plus your lessons equals a legacy. Peace, power, and purpose always.